Can God speak through an unbeliever? Apparently he did, and that's our study for today in John chapter 11, where Caiaphas, who was high priest in the year that Jesus was crucified, said to the council meeting of the Jews, "You know nothing at all. You do not understand that it is expedient for you that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation should not perish." He did not say this of his own accord, it tells us in John 11:51, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but to gather into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. So from that day on, they took counsel how to put him to death. The question that comes to our minds here is that Caiaphas was not a believer. He was an enemy, and he was the one who was doing away with Christ. Can God use this kind of a person and communicate his eternal truth through that kind of a man? Obviously. Didn't he in the Old Testament speak through a donkey? Yes, he did. In Numbers chapter 22, verse 28, it says, "Then the Lord opened the mouth of the ass." That's a jackass. And he was owned by the prophet Balaam. And the jackass said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?" Did that really happen? Well, we can say this could not have happened because animals can't speak. Parrots do, but they don't speak very much. Well, what about this case? Well, what did Peter believe about what is written there in the book of Numbers? 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. "Forsaking the right way, they have gone astray. They have followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved wrongdoing, but was rebuked for his own transgression. The dumb ass spoke with human voice and restrained the prophet's madness." Well, we need to ask, "Peter, you don't believe that story, do you?" Well, Peter would answer from the grave, "Yes, I do. And I believe Jonah was swallowed by a fish, and I believe Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed by fire. And he believed the Adam and Eve story, and he believed in Abraham. He believed everything in the Old Testament." And if you are not in agreement with Peter on such matters, then you have a long way to go when it comes to faith. Friends, we are dealing here with the Word which has come from God, not a book of mythology. And it takes literal interpretation to understand the Scriptures. Not everything is literal, because there is figurative speech. The Bible uses many figures of speech. But that does not mean that we don't take the Bible literally, for we take the figures literally. Now, verse 52 talks about the children of God who are scattered abroad. It says, "And not for the nation only, but to gather into one the children of God who are scattered abroad." Jesus spoke of these people, did he not? You turn back a page in your Bible to chapter 10, verse 16. Here he was speaking of himself as the good shepherd. And in verse 16 he said, "And I have other sheep that are not of this fold." What was this fold? It was Judaism and Israel. And who could these other sheep be who did not belong to Judaism? Well, the only other kind of people in the world would be Gentiles. So this is a clear reference to Gentile people. And that is what we have here in verse 52 of John 11. It's part of the prophecy that the church is going to be made up of children of God who are called out of Judaism and of children of God who are called from among the Gentiles. Now the result is given to us in verse 54. Jesus, therefore, no longer went about openly among the Jews, but went from there to the country near the wilderness, to a town called Ephraim, and there he stayed with the disciples. Where is Ephraim? We're not positive of its location, but there is some pretty good evidence that it was northeast of Jerusalem, about 15 miles. There's a little Arab town there today. That's where Jesus stayed. Now, why did he stay there? Well, because his hour had not yet come for him to be killed, so he got away from his enemies who were going to try to take his life. You might say that he hid out. But Jesus was really following the timetable that God had set. Nothing was by chance. God had ordered everything and the precise time of everything, and Jesus was in tune with his Father and understood the will of the Father. Now we need to remind ourselves that we are, as we study John chapter 11, right down to the last month of the life of Jesus. The first 11 chapters of the Gospel of John, and that's about half of the book, deal with better than 3 years of Jesus' life. The last half of the Gospel of John deals with about the last 2 weeks of Jesus' life. Obviously, John wanted to say an awful lot about the last 2 weeks of the life of Jesus. This includes his instructions to the disciples who were going to carry on his work after his death. They would preach the gospel. They would build the church. Then this section deals with his betrayal, his crucifixion, his burial, his resurrection, and then his appearances afterward. Think of it. Half of John's gospel deals with the last 2 weeks of Jesus' life on earth. That's amazing. But it gives you a better appreciation of how important the last moments of Jesus' life were to the Apostle John. So many sermons are preached from the teachings of Jesus, such as the Sermon on the Mount and how he went about during those 3 years. Well, if you really want to get to the heart of the gospel, you have to go to the end, the last 2 weeks, that is, when the important things happened. Not that the other things were unimportant, but these were the primary things of importance concerning why Jesus came and what he did. It's going to be thrilling as we get into chapter 13 through 17, where Jesus meets with his disciples, the 12, and one of them leaves to betray him. And he gives the 11 preparation for the life to come after the resurrection of Christ. Those are teachings which are for the church. Many other teachings were not to the church. All the teachings of Christ are for the church, but not to the church. But these in John chapters 13 through 17 are to the church. And that makes a big difference in interpreting the scriptures. When you read the Bible, remember most of what Jesus said in your New Testament was not to the church. It was to the Jews. It was to people in Judaism, people under the law. In John chapters 13 through 17, however, he is treating his disciples not as Jews, and we are going to come across this statement, I say to you, as I said to the Jews. Well, weren't these people Jews? These disciples? Yes, they were. But he no longer treats them as Jews. He treats them now as his disciples of a different kind altogether. And to them he will give a new message. Instead of talking about the laws of Moses and the commandments in the Old Testament, his message will be love and a new commandment. Did you know that there are many people who think the essence of Christianity is living by the Ten Commandments? And I heard a prominent evangelist say this some years ago. If we could only get all of the people in the world to live by the commandments, that is, the Ten Commandments, it would be a better world. Well, do you realize what he was saying? If he could get everybody to live by the Ten Commandments. God could not get the Jews to live by the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament. Furthermore, if we put people under the Ten Commandments, and they cannot keep them, they come under the curse. So it is written in Galatians 3:10, cursed is everyone who does not do everything written in the book of the law and do them. Friends, the law was not given to make us Christians. The Ten Commandments were not given to make Israel God's people. They were already His people by a covenant. The Ten Commandments were not even given to bring us to Christ. That's a mistranslation in Galatians 3. The law was given until Christ, not to bring us to Christ. So it's written in Galatians 3:19. Why then the law? It was given because of transgressions until the seed should come. Did you know that no apostle ever taught any Christian to live by the Ten Commandments or any other part of the Old Testament law? Instead, the apostles taught that the law had ended, that Christians are not under law, but they are under something else. They're under grace, the grace of God. God is governing His people today differently from the way He did during the law age. He there directed them and governed their affairs by the law which He had given through Moses on Mount Sinai. But today, He governs His people by a wonderful superior law. It's the law of love. And if you fail as a Christian in loving one another, then you are a miserable failure. But if you can love, then you are a success as far as God is concerned, because you've kept the one law that He gave to His church. It's expressed in John chapter 13, and it was given hours before Jesus was arrested. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. In addition to not teaching Christians to live by the Ten Commandments, the apostles warned them against the Ten Commandments and the law of Moses, because it was a form of bondage. And why did Christ die? For freedom Christ died, to set us free. That's Galatians 5:1. Well, we must continue our study next week. I hope you'll join me here. If you don't understand how a Christian is under grace and not under law, we'd like to send you our free grace booklet. This 30-page booklet will tell you all about this wonderful word grace. Write today for your copy. Please don't send money. It's free. Until next week, this is Nick Calabota reminding you to rejoice in the good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.com.